Good morning, and thank you so much for your prayers. We need them as we go this evening. Very much. Our text is in Hebrews 11, and as you turn there, I want to mention there's a new piece on the literature table, Ultimate Questions by John Blanchard. It'll fit in a coat pocket and a purse, and it's my favorite piece of evangelistic literature of all time for me. It's very, very quality by John Blanchard. So these are on the book table. Grab one if you aren't familiar with it. On your way out, there's quite a few out there. And read it, enjoy it, and then give it away. So these are new on the book table. All right, Hebrews 11. From one pilgrim to a bunch of pilgrims, I'm speaking on the Christian as a pilgrim through this life. The Christian on pilgrimage. Our text is Hebrews 11:13 through 16. Hebrews 11:13 through 16. Let's hear and receive the Word of God. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. Let's pray. Father, take this message and make it what you want it to be. Trim off the fat, trim off the unnecessary. And I ask you this morning to make it an arrow to hit home in every heart as you would be pleased. Guide me and lead me to speak in a way that will honor Christ and will help my brethren in this day, this hour. We bless you. We thank you for your word. In Christ's name, amen. You know, these Pilgrim Progress sermons we've been hearing, you guys are getting fine dining on that stuff. And I want you to realize something. They're not just an interesting novelty or something new and unusual. Brethren, I just want to encourage you to realize more and more of what you're getting. Not just those, but week in and week out, month after month. But those sermons, particularly, realize that you are getting in these the whole biblical theology of the gospel and true salvation in those. Don't fail to see the bigger picture of that. You're getting regularly what hundreds of thousands of Christians around the world only dream of getting. But you get it as a standard course. So to whom much is given, right. Now the Pilgrim's Progress, who wrote that? Oh yeah, John Bunyan. And you know, he wrote at least 59 other books. and died at 60 years old. But he was also a hymn writer. And maybe just one, but he was a hymn writer who wrote the hymn, "He Who Would Valiant Be." And in there, and by the way, that's about pilgrimage, this hymn, as is the Pilgrim's Progress, pilgrimage. Here's what Bunyan wrote in that hymn. "He who would true valor see, let him come hither. Here he will constant be, come wind, come weather. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim." That is John Bunyan. Bunyan was a pilgrim in his mind, in his heart, and in his theology. And his greatest book of all time, Pilgrim's Progress, is about the Christian pilgrimage. Now, on April 20th, 1854, the 20-year-old Charles Spurgeon gave his fiancée, the 22-year-old Susanna, a copy of Pilgrim's Progress with the words written to Miss Thompson, his fiancée, to Miss Thompson, with desire for her progress in this blessed pilgrimage. And they became pilgrims together for the next 36 years. The Christian is a pilgrim on pilgrimage. And this is a big truth in Scripture, because this is who we are as Christians. Foreigners, aliens, sojourners. And this is the Christian's perspective that the Bible gives us as we read it. We're saved out of this world, the Bible teaches, made new to be not of this world, left in the world to pass through this world to another world. So we are pilgrims. This is why Leonard Ravenhill loved to say, "The greatest miracle God can do is to take an unholy sinner out of this world, make them holy, put them back in the unholy world, and keep them holy." Now that is every Christian. You've been saved out of darkness and wickedness and sin, and washed and changed and cleaned up, but left in this world of darkness now to be a light, to be salt, to journey through it and get out of here successfully. The Christian. The Bible is the story of those called by God to be His people. Called from this world to be His as pilgrims and strangers in the earth that are following their captain, who was the greatest pilgrim who ever lived. Spiritual citizens of the kingdom of God, who once lived under the power of the evil one, but now are free children of light who journey toward their true home. And so our text is about that, verses 13 through 16. Followers of Christ are called several things in Scripture. They're called disciples. They were first called Christians at Antioch. We're called sons of God or children of God. These are descriptive terms of who we are. And for today, we're called in Scripture foreigners, aliens, exiles, strangers in the earth, pilgrims and sojourners. You know, Hebrews 11 says that they confessed this about themselves and declared it. They spoke it plainly that that's who they are. So let's consider this morning. What does the writer to the Hebrews say about this here in chapter 11? Well, three things he says about the Christian as a pilgrim. Number one, the perspective about it. Number two, the journey that's involved. And number three, the destination. The perspective, the journey, and the destination of all the pilgrims and sojourners following Jesus Christ. So we'll camp out really in 13 through 16, a couple of places. But for the pilgrim, Christian on his journey, first there's a perspective that the text gives. There's a perspective. Look at it. Verse 13 and 14. Having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. That was the perspective they had about themselves. It was a mentality of identity. Who am I in this world? First, not a mother or a father or a businessman or a student or a child or a daughter or a son. As a Christian, who are you in this world? First perspective is, I'm a believer and I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger in the earth. They confessed that they were strangers, it says, meaning they declared it. Verse 14, for those who say such things declare plainly. So they said this about themselves because it was true. It was their identity. Now, the writer of the Hebrews and Peter also in 1 Peter and other places uses these terms describing and identifying believers. Aliens, foreigners, and exiles. That's who we are. Aliens, foreigners, and exiles. It means non-residents. Those who don't live where they are currently traveling. Pilgrims and sojourners are what aliens and exiles do. They journey. They're only passing through. Their citizenship is elsewhere. Now, the Elsies and us will go to Europe, God willing, tonight. But we're only going to be there a while. We're not staying. We can't stay because it's not home. And this is what Hebrews 11 is saying, in essence. And the believers in the Old Testament, and for us, the believers in the New Testament, they made it clear that they were pilgrims who desire a better place. And that's where their sights are set. That's where their GPS is set. And that's where they're going, because they're looking to go there. Those saints of old were never at home here. They had this mindset. For instance, remember David's words, 1 Chronicles 29. For we, he said there, we are sojourners before you, David. Jeremiah chapter 50, Jeremiah said about the saints, they will ask for the way to Zion, turning their faces in its direction. Genesis 23, Abraham said, I'm a stranger and a sojourner among you. And Peter uses this language in 1 Peter, and he says this, Beloved, I urge you as strangers and aliens in the earth to abstain from fleshly lust that wage war against the soul. Pilgrims and strangers. Paul put it this way, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for a Savior. Now, you know, being a pilgrim is not a dominant theme in 21st century Christianity. People want the here and now more than the then and there today. But the Bible tells us that the then and there is better than the here and now. Far better. The Bible teaches that we're strangers, aliens, and foreigners in this world, and the Christian is on a lifelong pilgrimage. And this is much bigger and more important than we realize when we start out as a believer. The longer you journey, though, through much tribulation, you begin to enter the kingdom, and you go through the valleys and the battles and the darkness and the attacks and the temptation periods, and you realize, I really am not comfortable in this world. I'm living behind enemy lines. I want to get on forward. You learn that you are this. Because if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you are a pilgrim and stranger in the earth. That's your identity. And it's good for us to accept that and believe it and embrace it and walk in it. Otherwise, we're going to have real conflict, conflicting minds and hearts, conflict of interest in the earth. Those Hebrews 11 people, their mindset and belief was, I am now something that goes far beyond this earthly life. I'm now on an eternal journey, not just an earthly one. They saw themselves, the Old and New Testament believers, primarily not as laborers and businessmen and wives and mothers and homemakers who lived in Corinth or Antioch or Rome. They didn't view themselves, that's where they lived, that's what they were in an earthly way, but they viewed themselves primarily as believers living for eternity and leaving this world soon. And some did leave this world very soon. But listen, if you live till you're 80, you will feel like life's been a vapor. I'm leaving this world soon. Now, the theology of this is this. Every Christian is on a road trip with a starting point. What's the starting point? Conversion and salvation through repentance and faith. A starting point, a route for a journey and a destination. What's the route? The entire living out of the Christian life through much tribulation, through many dangers, toils, and snares, and many encouragements and wonderful things. This is why Bunyan wrote about both the hill difficulty and the battle with Apollyon and being a prisoner in Doubting Castle, but also soon after he wrote about the Delectable Mountains where there's refreshment and encouragement and washing and renewing and rest. All those realities, the hard and the happy, are the Christian pilgrims. The tedious and the tiring, the glorious and the gladness. It's all a part of the journey. Christ's followers are to live like foreigners here and fix our minds with that radically different perspective than what the world has. I am a pilgrim. Do you really view yourself that way as a Christian? Is that what dominates your thinking about yourself? Is that really your identity? Or is that completely foreign to you? This is who you are if you're Christian. Somebody asks your name, you can give it. But if they said, what's the most true and real thing fundamentally about you? I'm a Christian living in this world, heading into eternity to be with Christ. So that's the mindset, the perspective. Secondly, the pilgrim's journey. The pilgrim's journey. And it says it here, verse 14 and 15. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. Verse 16, they desire a better country. So, the journey we're on is a lifelong one. From the time you came to know and love Christ, if you're a believer, you started this journey. And it's not going to end until you're with the Lord. You can't go back. If you go back and you stay back, you never started the true journey. You can't go back. Remember Lot's wife. It's forward, forward, forward. You're journeying, you're going on, you're marching to Zion. We are sojourners and pilgrims on a journey passing through, and it's true of every Christian. We're aliens down here but we're citizens of a heavenly kingdom on this temporary journey. The believer is not stationary. We're moving on. We're trending heavenward. This is in your heart if you're a believer. The true pilgrim, the true Christian, is always seeking, though he might struggle, seeking things above, wanting them, growing, progressing, possessing the land, laying hold of eternal life. The prophet said, we press on to know the Lord, right? That's what the Christian does, pressing on the journey to know the Lord, to follow Him. We run the race that's set before us because we're already citizens of that country. We seek it because we desire it. And we desire it, so we seek it. Where's the motion of our hearts as a pilgrim? Onward, upward, forward, to that heavenly rest above. The Old Testament saints were seeking an eternal home, not a temporary one. Their dream house was a tent. Well, David didn't always live in a tent, but he often did because he was in the wilderness journey, right? He was a pilgrim in the wilderness. But they desired a better country, even a heavenly one. As somebody said, their hearts were already in heaven before they got there. Is yours, is mine. I love the old gospel song. Michael, don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. Some of you don't know it. Looking for a city. It's about this. Listen to this. Here among the shadows, in a lonely land, we're a bunch of pilgrims on the move. Burdened down with sorrows, shunned on every hand, but we're looking for a city built above. In this land of dangers, going here and there, trusting in the blessed Savior's love. Though we may be strangers in this world of care, we're looking for a city built above. Then the chorus. Looking for a city where we'll never die. There the sainted millions never say goodbye. Where we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. We're looking for a city built above. A city whose builder and maker is who? God. Listen, Brian Elsie can build you a house here. It'll look like a lean-to compared to what's going to be up there. Christ is the center of the city of God. And that's where your journey is. Your heart's got to be going there if you're going to make it. We pursue what we want and what we like and what we enjoy. We go those places. Is your heart that of a pilgrim set on pilgrimage, like Psalm 84 is all about? That was the heart of the Old Testament saints, and it's the heart of all the saints of all the ages, looking, seeking, longing for the city that's eternal. Are you looking for that? Is that your heart? Is this, as one singer said, your glorious obsession? The journey. The Christian, he or she is marching to Zion, heading home. Sometimes, you know, we're with one another and somebody gets up, grabs a bag, and where are you going? Heading home. Heading home. That's all we got. That's our confession as a Christian. This earth here, where I live now, is not my home. I'm heading home. Psalm 84 says, their hearts are set on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of trouble. So we pass through this world and this life, through the troubles, heading out of this world because we are pilgrims. That's our perspective. That's the journey we're on. And finally, What's our destination? The perspective, I'm a pilgrim. The journey, Zion, to Zion, to Christ. The destination, there's one we seek. Verse 15, a homeland. Verse 16, a better country. We seek that destination because for the believer, this world was never meant to be our final destination. That's why John Wesley said, this world is the dressing room we pass through for the eternal world. Because Wesley knew and believed that we are aliens and sojourners here, desiring and looking for our final home. What did John say about this world where we live now? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof, but the one who does the will of God abides will live forever. Forever. The pilgrim follower of Jesus desires that which is so much greater and higher and more wonderful. The things of God's kingdom. Hanging out with family, the people of God. They love the church. They love the narrow path. They love the journey. The joys of it. They endure on the path. They love the truth. They love the Bible. They love fellowship. They love the singing of the songs of God. They love the Father's house. Now, question about this. If you view yourself as a stranger and a pilgrim, question, what are we certain of that God always gives His pilgrim children? What are we certain of that God always gives to us on this journey? First of all, promises. Promises. Bunyan was in jail, I think 12 years at least. He had a Bible and he had a Fox's Book of Martyrs, and he lived on the promises. And he wrote what he wrote. Unto us are given exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. The promises of God, we live on them. We have to live on them. Leviticus is full of promises, and it was written for Israel in the wilderness journey. Like, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Promises. Surely I will lead you and guide you. Guidance was promised. Cloud by day, fire by night. I will guide them. I will lead them. I will shepherd them as a good shepherd shepherds the sheep. All the way. All the way. He led them. Promises, guidance, provision. Provision. We would be astounding if we could see in a snapshot all God has provided for us in our Christian life. We would just be astounded and humbled and grateful and thankful for all He's done. We're certain also that He gives songs of deliverance to us as we journey. And hope, hope. Every Christian, the Christian is the only one in the world that has true lasting hope. If you're not a Christian here today, you have no hope. You have no hope. You are without God and without hope in this world, the Bible says. What are you putting your hope in? What are you hoping in? That sinking sand, if it's not Jesus Christ. But the Christian is the only one journeying through this life who has real and lasting and true substantial hope. And that is your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's calling you on pilgrimage to come all the way home. Come on home. Come all the way home. Follow me. Come on. Come on. Come on. Hope rings eternal for the pilgrim. And the end is everlasting life with Christ, which is far, far better. So, brethren, if you're a Christian, have this perspective. Primarily, I'm a pilgrim and sojourner. I'm on this journey that'll end when I die, and my destination is Jesus Christ, where He is. Call it what you will, paradise, heaven, it's all the same. It's Jesus Christ reigning forever with His pilgrim saints. Are you among them? Brethren, we're not home yet, but we're almost home. The hymn we're going to sing in a moment has these words, "The promised land is calling. We're almost home. And not a tear shall fall then. We're almost home. Make ready now your souls for that kingdom come. No turning back. We're almost home." Are you a pilgrim follower of Jesus Christ? If you say you are, it will evidence in your life